Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The world is trying to seduce you and trying to seduce me. And when we make friends with the world, when we have our agenda so much a part of the world, suddenly we recognize we're wrapped up in worldliness and we're an enemy to God. There is a cross pull in the life of those who know God when we become a friend of the world. The Bible says we're to be in the world and not of the world, but so many of us, we know we're in the world and too many of us are of the world.
The truth is, desires that seduce you away from God never give what they promise. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Cross Pull, where he helps you identify desires that will rob you of the life God wants for you and shares that you can avoid their trap. That proven truth from God's Word is coming up next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Cross Pull.
The words cross pull are not my words. They're the words of a famous newscaster who many years ago was visiting a ranch way out west, a real cattle ranch. And he was there for a few weeks and had the privilege of meeting a young cowboy who was sort of the favorite of all the old hands on the place. He was a bandy-legged little fella. He'd been reared there on the ranch and everybody loved him. And this newscaster was drawn to him immediately and they became good friends in just a few days. The little cowboy had gotten a colt and had raised that colt with great care until that colt had grown to a mighty stallion. And all the other cowboys would tease that little fellow about that stallion because the stallion literally followed him around like a dog. And he said, everybody would say, well, that's the only friend you have is your horse. While the news commentator was there, this beautiful stallion stepped in a gopher hole and sort of turned to foot. And they took the stallion and put him out in the pasture to rest his leg. But while in the pasture, a group of wild horses got in, and sure enough, the favorite went out and ran away with them. The newscaster said, you should have seen that young cowboy. You've never seen such a picture of depression in all of your life. He'd lost his horse. But then one day, another guy came in from riding the fence and he said, I found him, I found him, I found the horse. The young guy said, where is he? I'll go get him. And he said, you can't, it's too late in the afternoon. He's out in a certain pasture and he's running with a wild herd. And so early the next morning, that young cowboy got up and the tenderfoot, the news commentator, persuaded him to carry him along just to watch. And they rode to a certain mountain peak and got ready to look into a certain valley. And he said, sure enough, they saw the wild herd and they saw his favorite right in the middle of them. The young cowboy said, you stay here. The news commentator said he was carefully instructed as to how he was to lie down on that rim rock and not make a sound or move in any way. And he said he watched the young cowboys. He did a beautiful job of stalking, getting down close enough to the wild herd where the favorite could hear him, but so he wouldn't spook all of them and they'd run away before he got a chance to call that horse back home. He said he got down inside and he stood up and he saw all the horses lift their heads, their ears, and they stood for a minute. They saw the danger and they bolted to run away. He said he couldn't hear from where he was looking down, but he knew that young cowboy was whistling and calling for all he was worth to bring that stallion back to him. He said the wild herd ran away. The news commentator said, I looked down and I could feel the cross pull in that animal. He wanted to run with a wild herd that he had been with, but yet he heard the voice of the master who loved him, who was beckoning him to come to him and to go back home. Cross pull. I think all of us here can identify with that. I dare say there are many people here in this hour, and you could stand today and say, I feel a cross pull in my own life. There's tension, there's pressure, there's strife, there's unrest within my spirit. And we need to be reminded that God created all of us, mind, emotions, and spirit, and these three elements are to work together in harmony. And when one part of you or one part of me is not in harmony with the rest of us, there will be that cross pull. What is it about? It's about my will or God's will. It's about what I want to do and how I want to live my life and how God would want my life to be lived. It's about the aim, the goal, the purpose of your life and my life. Cross pull. And this is what these 10 verses, I believe, in James are all about. They're about this cross pull. Look at them with me. That first verse is so important. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? James asks. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? In the King James it says, is not the source lust? So we know about the cross pull. We know about the restlessness, about the unrest in our lives. But we have to ask the question, what is the cause? And James gives us here two primary causes. The first one is lustfulness. The American Standard Version says pleasures. We can put them together and say it is a lust for pleasure. Now, we know that lust can be good and lust can be bad if you define lust by the word desire, but this question here begs in the Greek a negative answer. It is a negative word in its context. So we're talking about lustfulness. We're talking about lustful pleasures. We're talking about not desire. Desire in and of itself is a good thing, remember? It's one of our instincts to get, to possess. In fact, the first word some of us said was mine. Mine? A child's word. It's an instinctive thing. So desire is not bad, but an evil desire is bad. What is an evil desire? It's desiring something or someone that does not belong to us, are desiring something that will not lead to our best good. An evil desire. So if there is a cross pull in your life today, If there's unrest in your life, if there's undue tension in your life, if there is pressure from within that expresses itself without in quarrels and conflicts and battles, we need to understand in all probability the source is right here. It is lustfulness. A lust for pleasure. How we live in a hedonistic society. We give ourselves for that which makes me look good, that which makes me feel good, that which brings glory to me and power to me or prestige to me. It is money. It is position. It is recreation. We live in this kind of hedonistic world, and this is at cross purposes with the call of God. On one hand, it's my pleasure. On the other hand, it is God's will. And if there's undue tension, if there is unrest in your life, if you identify with that phrase, the cross pull, then you can be sure one cause is lustfulness. Now look what it leads to. There's a progressiveness here. Verse 2, you lust and you do not have. So you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, what are we talking about here? There is a desire that I have, and I do not have it, and therefore I get upset and I commit murder. You say, I would never commit murder. That's an overstatement. But what does 1 John tell us? It says, if you hate your brother, at heart, you're a murderer. If you have a grudge against someone, if you are vindictive toward someone, if you have an attitude of viciousness toward someone, then in God's sight, you have murder in your heart. Here is this desire, here is this lust. Many times it involves pleasure. You say, well, how in the world can pleasure lead to murder? You see, there is a competitiveness in this society. We want to get ahead, and some ways we get ahead, we step on somebody else. We step on someone else and we move up. Let me tell you something about doing that in the corporate ladder or in any kind of ladder. Be careful of those you step on the way up, because you're going to meet them on the way down. So many times to get my desire, my goal, what I think I need to satisfy my ego in my life, therefore I have to misuse someone else. And then what happens? What does it say? There's quarrel, there's conflict. We desire this, and we do not get it. And then James tells us why we do not get it. He says it's because we do not ask. Now, the background of this is a positive thing. The Bible tells us that the Heavenly Father knows how to give those gifts that satisfy the deepest longings in your heart and in my heart. He knows how to give us those gifts that satisfy. But as long as we seek these pleasures that do not satisfy, we will go through life with a feeling of unsatisfaction. And we reach and we grasp and we reach this goal and we go over here, and finally we discover there's emptiness in and of it all. While God wants to give to you and give to me the best, the things that meet your needs, the things that give you peace, the things that satisfy. He wants you to have His best gifts. I'll tell you, nothing thrills me more as a parent than to give something to one of my children and to see that it's exactly the right thing. And they really like it. And old dad knocked it over the fence. He didn't give something that was in style 25 years ago. Finally, he's up to date. And he gives that right gift. Doesn't that make you feel good as a parent? And the Bible says, how much more the Lord knows how to give to His children those perfect gifts. But you see, the illicit side of this is we conjure up in our dreams. We conjure up in our imaginations. And we plan and we scheme and we have these evil desires that we work and we work and we plan and we imagine and we move from this and we move to that. And then finally the situation comes, there is an explosion. And we move away from God. And then we're trapped in our own lustfulness, our desire for pleasure. But the Lord knows what we need. Ye have not these things that satisfy, that will quench that thirst, because you do not ask. Somebody here say, wait a minute, Pastor. I want you to know I've asked for those things, but I did not receive them. I've inquired, but it didn't work out. I've begged and prayed and I've asked the Lord, but it didn't happen. What about me? James has anticipated the question. Look at the third verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, when we go to God and ask for these perfect gifts, these gifts that He will give to you and give to me that will satisfy, may not be that which we are seeking. Because His gifts have to fulfill real need in your life and in my life, and always they have to lead us to glorify Him. So when I pray, I am getting in the middle of His will. In His will is my peace, Dante said, and we've all experienced that truth if we sought to walk with the Lord. So when we pray, we know He recognizes that which is best, that which is good, that which will edify Him and build His kingdom through your life and through my life. And we ask amiss, because sometimes we don't see the long view. We see only right here from our own lustfulness. That's the first problem with cross-pull in your life or in my life. These quarrels, these disputes, these wars that break out, that are within, that express themselves without in all of our interpersonal relationships. But look at the next thing. The next thing is worldliness. Verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We need a definition of worldliness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Turn right in your Bibles. 1 John 2, 15 and 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. What is worldliness? Worldliness is when you seek to please the world or someone who lives in the world more than you seek to please God. You become worldly and I become worldly when our intimate associates, our friendships, are with people who are casual about God or totally indifferent to God. You get involved, your life bound with people like that, and you are on the first step to worldliness. Now, the word here, adulteresses, has nothing to do with the breaking of the seventh commandment. It is a picture of spiritual infidelity. In the Bible, the marriage relationship is used. Therefore, the church, and we are the church, those who are born again, those who've received Jesus Christ, we are the bride of Christ, and we become adulteresses. The form is feminine. We are unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean? What is this like? It's like a wife who flirts with a man who's trying to seduce her. That's exactly what it's like. And this scripture would say that the husband of that wife is an enemy to the man who was trying to seduce his mate. The world is trying to seduce you and trying to seduce me. And when we make friends with the world, when we have our agenda so much a part of the world, suddenly we recognize we're wrapped up in worldliness and we're an enemy to God. Now, this is a word to Christians. It's not to pagans. It's a word to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who name the name. But suddenly there is a cross pull in the life of those who know God when we become a friend of the world. The Bible says we're to be in the world and not of the world. But so many of us, we know we're in the world, and too many of us are of the world. That's our primary agenda. And therefore there's that cross pull. It's inevitable. It has to be. That tension between my way and God's way, between the call of the wild herd with which we have run and the whistle and the beckoning words of our master who loves us. That's the cross pull we feel. The cause of the cross pull: lustfulness, seeking after lustful pleasures that do not satisfy. Second cause, worldliness. But what's the cure? What's the answer? The next verses. Look at it, back in James. Look at verse 5, which is a transitional verse. Or do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life, everlasting life, without cost, come. What is the requirement mentioned here? Do you have to be intelligent? Do you have to come with a good family or dress in a certain way? No. To be saved, you have to be thirsty. Isaiah said, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Jesus told the woman at the well that he would give her water to drink that would keep her from ever thirsting again. So, that is where life, true life, abundant life begins. Thirst. Are you thirsty? That is all that is required, because the Holy Spirit creates that hunger and thirst for a new life and for a righteous living. The invitation simply says, come on in if you're thirsty, and I will give you water, living water, changing water, healing water, the water of life now and life forever. What a beautiful invitation, a fabulous invitation offered in this world with out of the world permanence.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, Cross Pull, as he shares the steps you can take to bring your heart back to the things of God.